morning, everybody. You guys can sit down if you want. Wowzers. Before I start, I just want to build on what Alex just said about the church move. How exciting is that? Is that the church, like, it matters what you think, because, you know, church is not just a building, you are the church. And we are all on this journey and we're all coming together and we're all family. And I absolutely, God has impressed upon my heart the fact that this is a new season and he's bringing something new to all of us, singularly, so to our hearts, but as a corporate. And I was just so blown away this week and last week in worship, just that there is just something new. There is just something stirring and God is just planting something in us. And so as I tried to prepare during school holidays, how's everybody coping out there? Lots of people are away. But as I've tried to prepare these last couple of weeks, God just really impressed upon me that this is about finding the seed in season. And that's the title of my message this morning. It's about finding the seed in season. And I'm just going to read a verse out from John 4, 12 to 30. And it was when Jesus was at the well and he was speaking to the woman. And it's from the Message. It says, "But the time is coming, and it has in fact come, when what you're called will no longer matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and it's the way that you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration." We all fall short. We've established that long ago, that nobody can measure up. But isn't that the incredible thing, that God still wants to use you and still God can use you, and that the only thing that's stopping you from being used is that making yourself available. And In finding this message, I guess I can say that I found it because I really feel like God impressed it upon my heart. I could have easily gone to Matthew 13, verse 3, the parable of the sower, because it's all about the seed. But I really felt that God wanted me to speak about that it's about a person, it's about you, it's not just about a great parable, because parables are awesome to grasp a meaning, but it's actually personal and it's about you. And so he really took me to Gideon. And I don't know, everybody's probably heard the story of Gideon 100 times before. And it's found in Judges. And it's just a few chapters. And I honestly can't read out the whole of the chapters because it would take forever. It's Judges 6 it starts at. And basically, the story starts out by proclaiming that the Lord was angry with the Israelites for falling into sin again and worshipping false gods and idols. And because of this, the Lord left them in the hands of the destructive Midianites for 7 years. And finally fed up, the Israelites called out to God for help. God would send aid through a man named Gideon. And Gideon was like no one in particular. Like, the only thing that stood out from Gideon, from the Israelites, is that he was just a guy that was frustrated and that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. He was doing something to keep alive, basically. But the rest of the Israelites were hiding out in caves, and the Midianites had not just taken just a little bit of things. Like, they had absolutely stripped them of everything. Everything that they'd taken, their animals, they'd taken their crops, they'd taken their food, they'd taken just everything. And they were basically, like, left with nothing. And so God hears Gideon. And he meets him where he's at. And Gideon's not sure whether it is God. And so he asks if he could put an offering out. And then he puts the offering out and the angel combusts it and it bursts into flames and it's taken up. And then he realizes that he really truly is an angel of the Lord. And the same night, the Lord tells Gideon to destroy one of his father's altars, which was an idol to Baal, and replace it with an altar to God and sacrifice a bull on it. So he's scared and he does this in the night because he doesn't want to do it in the day because he thinks that he's going to be harassed, which rightly so he was in the morning when they found out it was him. But God delivered him from that. And then it just, the story builds and he equips him and he raises an army and then goes through and he fights the battle. And at different times, he just questions the whole time whether God is really speaking to him. And he's a real person and he's just not sure, but every time he questions, God doesn't think it's insignificant. He actually answers him and he answers him in the way that Gideon asks, and then he brings through the victory in a way that is not probably how Gideon thought it would be. So that's like a basic, my summary of the story. And out of this, I just want you to really think about, are you aware of what season you're in your life? Are you aware of what season it is? And do you know what God has planted within you? So in the beginning, the Israelites, oh my goodness, like every time I read about the Israelites, I get so frustrated because, like, they are probably one of the people that saw God do the most things. Like, he rescued them. He took them out. There were so many miracles that they saw and so many things that he did, and he led them through to the promised land. And still, like, every point, every turn, still, every generation ended up not following him and not believing in him. And they weren't really living their best life, were they? Like, and Gideon, if you put it into perspective, Gideon probably didn't see any of that stuff. So there was a great time of peace after everything happened, and then, you know, Gideon was probably a small boy, didn't see those miracles, didn't know, but had heard the stories. And it's almost like if you put yourself in the Israelite spot, that, you know, sometimes you can go on someone else's revelation or your family's faith or something that hasn't happened to you. And Gideon was trying to forge out this relationship with God that he never even knew that he could have to start with. And it was actually not really common in the Bible at that time because Jesus hadn't come. He hadn't come and the Holy Spirit hadn't been gifted to us. So he's a man that just has heard the stories and hasn't actually had that real life encounter. And then all of a sudden he's just put in the position where he's having a real life encounter and it's changing his life. And most of the time, I just feel like I'm like an Israelite, just stuck in the same old, going around the same old mountain, you know, just not knowing the truth. Because that's the thing, they knew the truth, but there's something different to knowing the truth and actually living the truth. Like, it's got to impact your heart. And it's easier sometimes to prepare a shelter in hiding within and fortify within yourself than to face the issues and move forward. It feels safer and it's less fearful than facing the actual reality of getting out there and fighting for your life. The problem then in not dealing with the issues is you don't grow and you don't grow forward and you don't move, and God is not a God that is a God that stops. He's a God that wants to move you forward and grow you and build you. And the moment that you commit your life to God is a journey of changing and growing and moving forward and getting rid of all the things that we need to. And sometimes it just gets to that point where you feel like, as a grown-up, you know, when you're allowed to do things, when you're told as a kid, you can't do that until you're a grown-up. And then you get to be a grown-up and then all of a sudden you can do all of these things, but the one thing you can decide to do is not grow. And it's really hard to make the decision to move forward and to change the things that you need to change. And that's where Gideon stood apart from the clan. And my first point that I want to say is that you got to know your ground. You got to recognize where your heart is at. You know, is it hard? Is it hurt? Does it carry unbelief? Is it damaged? Is it just not in the right place for anything? Is it stuck in the past? Is it emotional? Overly emotional? Is it not emotional at all? What is that? What is, What is your ground? Where are you? Where's your ground zero? Where does it start? I mean, let's look at where Gideon was at. He was frustrated. He had so many questions in his head for God. And like I said, he knew all the stories, but he didn't actually have that relationship. And when the angel came, he said, "God is with you, O mighty warrior." I mean, he's calling Gideon something that at the moment he wasn't as though he was. So he was just the smallest kid out of the smallest tribe that had no call, that had no one following him, that had no gift, that had nothing in the present. But in God's reality, in God's truth, he had so much, but he just hadn't grasped it yet. But what he did have, and that's what I really got from the story, is that he had a frustrated heart. Like, he had a frustrated heart. He wanted change. He wanted something to change. He wanted something to move. He wanted to get out of the grinding poverty that the Midianites had put them in, even if he didn't understand why they were there. Now, I have been blessed enough to move house and get a veggie garden. And who's had a veggie garden before? Yeah. So has anyone grown carrots? Because I can. Not, you know what? And it was, no one told me, when you plant carrots, like, you obviously you make a little hole and you put the seeds in, and I thought it was that easy, and then you cover it over, you water it, you let them grow. But do you understand something about carrots? If you don't separate them, then they don't grow straight. They grow all gnarly, and they grow gross, and they look really disgusting, and then they curl around each other, and it's not as easy as you think. And you can now get carrots on tape. Sounds really funny. Seeds on tape, where you put the tape in because they're already separated. But I thought it was like so simple to do gardening and so simple that, you know, you just chuck the seeds in the ground. And, but it's not. It's not simple. I'm finding that it's a little bit harder to grow things, and sometimes they happen by chance and that's amazing, and sometimes they don't happen by chance and you really have to work at it and pull the weeds and separate the carrots and make sure animals don't get into them and things like that. It's just not simple. A seed from God comes with instructions. So if you know your ground and you get your ground ready, then how do we know what a seed from God is? And one of the things that I have really got stuck on is that I try to control everything. And I'm sure that I am not the only person in here that tries to control stuff. Now, control is actually not a bad thing, because there's plenty of things that we need to control, like self-control. But controlling everything isn't the most positive thing. And Gideon could have been hiding or not doing anything, but he's taking a risk and he's trying to control the fact that he's got food and that his family can eat. And in that, I just love the fact that God sees his heart and wants to move in him. Control breeds anxiety and stress when it's misplaced. And I've been really guilty of that. Trying to control the wrong things, and then you get anxious and then you get stressed. And Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." It's very easy to lack self-control, especially when you're the grown-up and you get to say what happens and what doesn't happen in your life. And it's even more incredible when you can be disciplined. I mean, I like doing exercise, but I really don't like it that much. In fact, you know, I really don't like it. But I understand the benefits. And there's so many things in life that are like that, that you want to do it because you know it's good for you. You want to eat the right things. You want to exercise. You want to, you know, just whatever. But it's just so hard to stay the path and to be disciplined and to be self-controlled and to not put that control in the wrong spot. I mean, you are who you are when no one's looking. And you're the only one that can be ready in the season. No one's going to do this for you. And if you don't take care of the ground, the seed is not going to matter. And Gideon asked to test the fleece. You know, he puts a fleece out, says, God, can you put dew on it and then not dew on the ground? And he does that. This is in the story. And then he swaps it the other way around because he's not really, really sure. Because it's not that he doesn't trust God, but I believe Gideon's aware of his weakness. He second guesses and he wants to know for sure that God's speaking and not trying, and he just wants to know that he's not controlling things. And my second point is you got to know the seed. And that's the hardest thing I think that people miss, is that you can get your heart in order, but you can miss what the seed is. And what Gideon didn't realise was that in the beginning, the frustration was the seed. It's the call that he placed in him for his people. Don't mistake the seed. This is one of the things that I really struggle with. It's like, don't mistake the seed inside of you, that it presents itself in ways that are modest and are noticeable to start with. Like, have you seen a seed? Like, it looks like a piece of dirt. Lots of pieces of dirt together. Like, seeds are not interesting. And if you accidentally put all your seeds together and they get mixed up in a pack, like, you can kind of separate them. But honestly, they just look insignificant and nothing. And that's how it starts. It's like a feeling. It's like a sense. It's like this thing in your heart. And if you've prepared your heart and you want to know where God wants to take you, it's that little bit of gnawing frustration. It's that little thing within you that starts to grow. It's a powerful, untapped potential in a modest package. Just like Gideon, just like you. And what I love is that God meets us where we're at. And he always calls truth on our reality, and he stirs the seed that he plants for it to grow. And no matter what, he meets us where we're at. I absolutely love that. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you think you can't do it. It matters that God's planted a seed. It matters that it's your heart. It matters because you matter. And a call, there's something so much more incredible with a call than a job. Like, you can leave a job, but a call is a sacrifice. A call requires something of you. A call is that thing within you that you just cannot shake, that is the very fabric, it's imprinted on you in the very fabric of who you are. And you know what? If you're not walking in that call, you will know it. You know it because you're missing something. It's the very adventure that you've been created to fulfill. Like, it's exciting. Your life should be exciting. With the main storyline in your life being that continually you will have to converse with God, because there will be many times that it will look like you can't possibly do it unless God comes through. And every single time he does, and that's the incredible thing. And that is about life. That is the life that we're meant to be living. And most of the time, I just feel like it's just an ordinary day. But do you reckon that when God, or when Jesus, walked on the beach and he went to the disciples and they were having an ordinary day, just doing their fishing nets, like, that was significant? What if they hadn't have stood up and said, I'll follow you? What if I'm just busy here. Thanks for your revelation. I need to get some fish. Like, but it's not. There is a call for you. And as a family and as a congregation and as the church that you are, we are moving into another season. And I really, really, really have been impressed on my heart that this is a new season and a new time, and it is exciting. And that God has not just orchestrated you being here just because you happen to just come. Like, there is such a huge thing going on here. And I just feel it, that God has got a plan, and it's singular, like I said, for you to be a part of our church, to build something, that you are an integral part, that you are called to do something. And as a corporate, we are called to gather together and to change this city. And it brings me to my last and third point, is that you've got to know your water source. And that's the Holy Spirit. Connection brings growth. I mean, between the seed and the goal is the process. Like, it's the process. And I think that's the hardest thing. The process is always the most difficult thing that we have. You just, it's like having that incredible dream of where you, how it's going to turn out. Like, I always have those incredible dreams when it's school holidays where I go, I'm going to take the kids there and it's going to be so awesome. And then, you know, the reality of taking the kids there, it's not awesome and they're crying and fighting and things don't happen the way you want it to. But you see Russell Falls anyway. It's like you just, it's always the way. It's like, and I think that sometimes that can really be a stopper in getting from the seed, that process, to then the goal, because we think, oh, it's not really how I thought it was going to turn out. Actually, I just don't think I'm going to keep doing that because that isn't how it was in my head. And if you know the water source, you will understand the season. Nothing can replace relationship, time praying, speaking, listening. It can't be replaced with a great podcast, as much as I would like to think it could sometimes, because it's easier to listen to a podcast and then, you know, but and it's probably almost less confronting. Sometimes I really struggle to sit and spend time with God because it's confronting, because I have to change something. So you kind of listen to a great podcast or you listen to an awesome worship song so you don't have to actually pray and deal with that stuff. And it doesn't matter how prepared the ground is or how great the seed is. If there's no water at the source, it won't grow. You know, I can have the best vegetable garden I want, but if I don't water it, it's not even going to grow, which has happened most of the time in my vegetable garden recently. So Gideon, initially frustrated, cries out to God with the rest of Israel. God responds, and I want you to capture this, sending an angel who burns up an offering. I know I've said it before, and he knows this is God. So God tells Gideon he'll use him to free the Israelites, calls out his potential. Gideon takes it. Yep, I'm going to take it. I'm going to move. I'm going to do this. And he honors him. Gideon honors him and worships him. And then tears down the thing, puts him up there, tears down the idol, puts one up there for God. God's like, yeah, this is cool. He's developing a relationship with God. Through the story, you see it starts out where Gideon's not sure if it's him. Then he slowly develops. And then you get to Judges 6, chapter 34. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. Now that verse absolutely changed me. Because he went from sending an angel to speak to Gideon to the Holy Spirit came upon him. And like I said, this is the Old Testament. This isn't when we have this as a gift. Now, Jesus had not been born. Like, God's gone, I trust you. Actually, you're listening to me. Like, you can see how it's developing, and he's developing in his relationship, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and out of that comes this huge mighty army that then God sends home. But anyway, I just think it's pretty amazing, and I don't believe that it's not for now. I believe that we are not even started, and no one can do that except for us. The Holy Spirit plants seeds in people that can change the future. The future of one or the future of a nation. Our job is to tend the heart, prepare the ground for your hearts, pull the weeds, water it with the Holy Spirit's word, because ultimately God will enable it to grow. The glory of God shines through because of our failings. And one of the biggest things that I really struggle with is that this being even having the worth enough to even have a voice or even get up and speak or even think that I would matter to do that. And that's been my own journey. But the call within me burns stronger than the failings within me. And I want to encourage you that don't let fear or anything else stop you from stepping into the things that God has for you. It's like his fingerprint on you. He doesn't want you for what you can do, or even what you can't do. He wants you because of your heart, because of relationship, the essence of who you are, because he created you. And like I was saying before, like the thing about dreams is, and how you dream how your life will be, and most people get stuck on this, if it doesn't turn out the way that you think it will, most of the time you don't want to approach it or don't want to continue doing it. But the thing about dreams, and even the dreams that God puts in your heart, is that it doesn't really account for the tough stuff that happens, because if that tough stuff, that would be a nightmare, not a dream. So you just get the rose-coloured glasses version of you can do it. It's like the pumped up on steroids version of, wow, that's the dream that God wants you to do. And then it's the process of walking out all of that stuff that every day that brings the hard stuff, to brings that seed from this tiny little insignificant thing to growing something that's so incredibly amazing in you. And for some of you, it's a word that was prophesied over you a long time ago that's unfulfilled. Others, it's a dream unrealized that you've held in your heart. I'm just going to ask the team to come up because I'm almost finished. But I just want to continue and then I want to do something. So we all have a piece of future self deposited in our heart. And you can't walk away from a God call. It will seek you out. It's out of our time. That's what I love about God. It's not in your time. It's out of your time. It's in his time. And I just want to remind you of some of the people in the Bible who had the call in their heart. I mean, Noah, he built his call. He had to build a boat to fulfill his call. Jacob, he fought and stole his blessing off his brother. Not really the kind of call that you kind of look at and go, wow, that's what I want. Moses, knowing his call, he hid for 40 years before he even fulfilled it or even begun to fulfill it. Joseph, he shared his call out of season and was almost crushed by his family. He got a dream, shared it kind of prematurely to his family, and then they didn't even want him to be alive. David, an insignificant shepherd, faithful in the season of the little, mighty warrior, and king in his call. Mary, she was pretty amazing. She had her heart right in the right season. And God chose her for her call. Bang, she probably didn't even know, she didn't know that was going to happen until an angel appeared. But she was ready. She had her heart right and she was in the right season. And like I said, the disciples, they were just doing everyday stuff. Then one day everything changed. And there's sometimes, there's been significant times in my life when I've had to make a choice to change something from the ordinary to the extraordinary, to allowing God to do something amazing in my life. And one of those times I remember thinking, gosh, you know, I committed to God. I was, you know, I walked away from God, and then I got to the point where I thought, gosh, I actually never, ever have been 110%. Like, I've been probably 85, you know. Even 90 maybe. I went to a couple of services a week, but, you know, at that point I was like, I've never given everything. I've never believed it wholeheartedly, just pushing aside everything that would stop me believing and just going, God, I need you 100%. And I remember walking down Bellarive Beach and committing my life again to God just by myself, because I needed a change, because I needed something significant to happen in my life, because I knew that there was something that wasn't happening that I was called to. And it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter what you've been through, it doesn't matter where you're at right now, it doesn't matter what you think you're failing with or what you think that you're not doing. It's a new season. And you're the one that God is calling. And no call is straightforward. You weren't made to fade away back to the dust, not making a significant impact on history. You were made for now. Not just someone that made it to the Bible because they did something in season with the right heart, with the right seed, with the right source. Like, how incredible to even make the Bible, like to get in the Bible. I always wonder, like, these people, do they even know they're in the Bible? They probably would now if they're in heaven. But like at the time, like they're just living life. They're making mistakes. And this is the most exciting time that we live in. Stuff is happening. God is moving. And I just know that this is the time to lay aside everything and move forward in the call that God has for you in whatever way that looks like for you. And I just want Jemima to start singing, and I think today it's all about just getting on your knees and laying it down and just getting back to the very heart of where it's at with you. Because it's like that, like Alex was saying, no troll left behind. It's like not one person left behind. You are a part of our family. You are the church. We're on this journey of going to a new building, but it's a new building. But you know what? It's more than that. It's a new season. It's a new thing. It's an exciting thing. It's something that we are all growing in and all changing in, and it's scary. But I don't want anyone to be left behind, because you know what? You bring something. You bring the thing we need. You bring the very thing that we need. Please, please stand up in the call that you have. Take it away, Jemima.